Scientists around the world sprint to develop a coronavirus vaccine.
Countries see this as a way, as really the main tool that can help them get their economies back to normal.
We'll look at the race and the fight over who gets access to any vaccine first. Plus, why stocks are up when consumer sentiment is so low. And hockey is coming back. The NHL is the first major American sports league to lay out plans to resume playing and go straight to the playoffs. It is Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Protesters in Minneapolis demonstrating following the death of a black man in police custody. Four officers involved in the encounter with George Floyd have been fired. Federal and state authorities are investigating. A bystander's video of the incident has been widely shared. A warning before we play an 8-second excerpt that it is graphic. We hear George Floyd on the ground as a police officer has his knee on the back of his neck.
Man, I can't breathe my face. Just get up.
What do you want?
I can't breathe.
Later in the video, Floyd is seen going limp and taken away on a stretcher. State and local officials have condemned the officer's actions. The police union did not respond to requests for comment. There is now a fact-checking notice on tweets about mail-in ballots from President Trump. It's the first time Twitter has added the disclaimer on a tweet from the president. The label reads, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots and links to more information." This happened shortly after Twitter denied a widower's request to delete the president's posts, circulating conspiracy theories about his wife's death. President Trump later took to Twitter to accuse it of stifling free speech. We are reporting that the Pentagon is preparing plans to draw down forces from Afghanistan as soon as the fall. Yesterday, the president said the mission had gone on long enough.
We're really not acting as soldiers. We're acting as police. And we're not sent over there to be policemen, but we're there 19 years. And I think that's enough. And they understand we're having very positive talks. We want to bring our soldiers back home.
We are reporting that Amazon is in advanced talks to buy Zoox, a self-driving car tech company. If it happens, the move would represent a big expansion in the autonomous vehicle space for the online retailer. Amazon has long been interested in using driverless vehicles to speed up deliveries. Coming right up, consumers worry about the economy, but investors keep driving up stock prices. We'll look at what's going on. Another stock market surge as American shares posted nice gains yesterday and futures show them on pace to start even higher today. Contrast that with how regular people feel about the economy. Consumer sentiment is at its lowest level in nearly 10 years. Markets columnist Mike Bird explains why these two views are going in the opposite direction.
I think the main difference between what you're seeing in markets and what you're seeing with consumers is consumers are reflecting what is happening right now. They're talking about the impact of the pandemic and the impact of the lockdowns. It's making them want to spend less. Consumption is going to be depressed, whereas investors are very much looking ahead. They're looking to what they think will happen in 6 months, what will happen in a year. And what they're expecting is for the lockdowns to be eased. The Federal Reserve's actions in trying to support the economy to have largely worked, prevented any sort of massive financial blow up, and for things to get back on track. You see relatively rapid growth after that, climbing back towards where they were before. And because investors are interested in that much longer time frame, what the value of a company is going to be, what its sales are going to be, what profit it's going to be making in 5-10 years, you see much less of an impact on the markets now than you are seeing in the current consumer surveys.
Up next, inside the race for a coronavirus vaccine and the thorny questions about where to make it and who gets it first. The race to develop a coronavirus vaccine is heating up across the globe. It's not just developing one that works. It's also where it'll be produced and who'll be the first to get it. Journal Pharma reporter Peter Loftus spoke with our Charlie Turner.
Pete, there seems to be a disagreement over what public health experts have described as vaccine nationalism, basically whether or not to export a vaccine. Could you describe both sides of this argument?
Sure. Well, there's many projects in the works to develop a coronavirus vaccine. A lot of big companies are involved in this effort, and they're not spread evenly around the world. They're only really in certain countries where these companies have operations. And so there's a bit of a clash in views between whether, assuming that we do get a successful coronavirus vaccine, or more than one. And then there's an effort to make enough doses to vaccinate a lot of people. One school of thought is that regardless of where the vaccine is made, it should be allocated globally on an equitable basis. For instance, perhaps being given to healthcare workers around the world before the general population. But then a conflicting force is countries that actually have vaccine production may want to ensure that their own populations get vaccinated first before going to the rest of the world.
Where do some of the big drug maker countries stand on this topic?
It's a mix. The U.S. so far has given all signs of a sort of America first policy that they seem to be signaling and providing money to certain drug companies to help the development of vaccines with an eye toward reserving those doses for Americans first. And that includes steering funding towards companies that they know are going to produce those doses in the U.S. China has multiple vaccine projects underway, and there's countries in Europe that have pharmaceutical operations. Some of them have said that they believe it should be a global good and that it should be given globally, but I think the totality of their actions and words haven't really shown for sure that they're gonna go that route. And so there are signs that countries like China, that they might be taking steps to also reserve doses for their own large population.
So are drug makers hoping to build factories in multiple countries to get around this thorny issue?
Yes. Some companies, Western companies or companies that are based in the U.S., they have manufacturing here, but either just on their own or because of some of the conditions of funding that they've gotten, they've taken steps to line up manufacturing outside the U.S. And so if there are actions by countries where a successful vaccine is produced, where those countries kind of close the borders and say all those supplies have to stay in the U.S. or whatever the country may be, it may not just be the U.S., then at least that company might also have production outside the U.S. or in another country that could then be allocated in other countries or allocated globally.
I imagine that a coronavirus vaccine would be a real coup for the country that can mass produce it. Could you describe what's at stake here?
Well, I think you can look at it like the race to put a man on the moon. I think there would be a lot of national pride if a country was the clear leader, the clear winner in getting a vaccine first. And then I do think, in addition to the direct health benefit, countries see this as a way, as really the main tool that can help them get their economies back to normal and restore their economies. And so certainly there's a national interest in doing that. But as some people have also pointed out, the national economies are so interconnected globally these days that even if the U.S. were to protect, say, its entire population, if you've got the rest of the world still in some sense of lockdown or their economies still quite impaired by this, then that's not really much of a help to the U.S. economy.
Wall Street Journal reporter Pete Loftus. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Thanks for having me on.
The NHL is the first major American sports league to detail plans to resume play, skipping the rest of the regular season and going straight to the playoffs. 24 teams will compete across two locations. Much is still TBD about the return to the ice, including precise timing. Here's NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman.
I think it's conceivable that we're playing at the end of July, could be the beginning of August, and then playing into September. So somewhere around that time frame, it may be that things open up quicker, players get back sooner, they feel they're in shape, that they don't want a prolonged training camp, and that we're going to take our guidance from the players on, then it'll accelerate a little bit.
That is What's News for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with another updated episode this evening, and there's always more on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.